Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. I wish I had time to run through that video and stop it and tell you about the various scenes, because they bring back many memories for me as I recognize many places and people. So it's exciting for me to be here, but I don't have time in the 3 hours the pastor gave me to share this morning. I don't have time for the video. I'm going to tell you other things. Well, we've lived in Portugal for the last 9 years, and we are now retiring. We started as missionaries in 1994 in Ecuador, so we learned Spanish. And then after 13 years in Ecuador, working with Work Witness teams, Sin and I, we came back to the United States, where I co-pastored with my father for 6 years in Sun City, Arizona. Not Sin City, Sun City. It's a retirement community. You have to be 55 to live there, so we weren't old enough to live there yet at that time. We lived in Surprise. Are you surprised? It's where the Kansas City Royals and the Texas Rangers have their training, spring training for baseball, and we enjoyed ministering there in Sun City. But after 6 years, my father retired for the second time when he was 78. And the General Church asked us to return as missionaries. So we have been, we went to the Eurasia region, and we've lived in Portugal. Now, I want to, on the next slide, I want to express our gratitude to you for allowing us to have served pretty much our career as missionaries overseas and abroad. So we have had a great experience, and you are a part of that because you have prayed for us, you have given faithfully so that we could serve overseas as missionaries. And we have experiences that we want to share with you today. Now, the next slide will show you Portugal, and that's where we've lived. We lived in Lisbon and surrounding area, and it's very beautiful. Portugal is very historic, and so we've enjoyed living there. Now, in Portugal, they don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese, and so we had to learn a new language. One time as I flew back into Lisbon, I had a taxi that was taking me to our apartment, and we were having a slight conversation, and he looked in his rearview mirror, and he asked me, "Are you French?" I said, "No, I'm an American." And he said, "No, Americans don't speak Portuguese." Well, if you live there long enough, you learn Portuguese. And so we learned Portuguese. Now, I'm more fluent in Spanish, which is convenient because the next country over is Spain. And for the last 5 years, I've been the district superintendent of Spain. And when I would go to Spain, I would preach usually. From Lisbon, I could drive to Seville in 4 hours. 6 hours, I could drive to Madrid, and another 3 hours to Saragossa beyond Madrid, and another 3 hours beyond that was Barcelona. Now, if you are familiar with Spain, maybe you've heard of what you would say Barcelona, but if you're from Barcelona, you say Barcelona. So we can always tell if there's a native Barcelonian, because they speak like this. Other Spaniards, you know if they're Spaniards because they speak like they have marbles in their mouth. But we were able to communicate, even though we don't speak exactly Spanish the way they do. And we had a great experience working with the churches. The next country over is France, and we don't speak French. But fortunately, we have missionaries that do speak French that are there, and we had opportunity to work with the churches there. The district superintendent is actually from the African nation of Chad. He's African. His name is Joseph, and his wife's name is Josephine. Joseph and Josephine made it easy to remember. And actually, all of those countries, I must tell you, the churches are primarily made up of immigrants. In Portugal, they're mainly from Brazil or Cabo Verde, which is Cape Verde, or Mozambique. And they all speak Portuguese. In Spain, they're mainly from Central and South America. In France, they're mainly from Haiti or one of the African colonies that France had centuries ago. So Joseph and Josephine are from Chad, and we had a great relationship with them. Joseph, I never asked him. We have a good enough relationship. I could have asked him. I just never did. But if you see Joseph, he has tribal scars across his forehead and on his cheeks from when he was much younger, before he came to France. I don't think they did that in France. But coming from Chad, he grew up there. And so all of these people come with their culture. They may be in Portugal, they may be in Spain, they may be in France, but they come with their culture. And it's not our responsibility to Americanize them. We go and we work with the church wherever the church is. Now, the next country over is Italy. And we don't speak Italian either, but it's close enough to Spanish and Portuguese that when we're in a church service and they have the words on the wall, on the screen, we can sing along with the songs. And so we have a great relationship with the church in Italy. The pastor of the Florence church, which is in this picture, and he's also the district superintendent of Italy. His name is Daniel Fink, and his wife's name is Vanya. And I'll tell you more about Vanya a little bit later, maybe in the third hour. And so we had a great relationship with the churches there. I've had many great experiences. I don't have time to tell you all the experiences that I've had in these countries. I was appointed 8 years ago to be the field strategy coordinator over these countries. And so I worked with the district superintendents, I worked with the local churches, and so on. And it also included Greece. Now, we don't have a church in Greece, but we worked with refugees who were coming out of the Middle East, passing through Greece. And as I said, we don't have a church in Greece, but we have Nazarenes, missionaries, and church leaders in the countries beyond Greece. Directly north of Greece is Macedonia. We don't have a church in Macedonia, but beyond there's Croatia, Romania, and so on. And we do have missionaries and Nazarenes there. And they would, now they don't have Walmart, but they would buy cases of bottled water, and they would stand beside the road, and as refugees would file by, they would hand them a bottle of water, and they would say, "We're Christians." They didn't have time for the four spiritual laws or some gospel presentation. They would just hand them a bottle of water, and they'd say, "We're Christians." And the response would come back, "We know.
You're the only ones who are helping us."
Now, they weren't Christian. They came out of the Middle East. They weren't Christian. But they didn't say, "Oh, it's okay, the UN will help us, or the government will help us." They recognized it was Christians. And of the refugees that we had opportunity to work with in Greece, when they were appointed to move somewhere, whether it's Poland or Germany or someplace else, oftentimes they would ask us, even though we didn't promote the church, we were just representing Jesus to them, they would often ask us, "Will there be a church where we're going?" It's our responsibility to plant seeds.
We plant seeds,
and the Holy Spirit continues to work in people's hearts and lives. Well, just to give you an idea, the next slide will show you the size of the Eurasia region. We were sent to work with the Eurasia region, not to work with Spain, not to work with Portugal. Initially, we were sent to work with the Eurasia region. Now, the Eurasia region actually begins with the Azores Islands, which belong to Portugal. The Azores Islands are a two-hour airplane flight out in the Atlantic. And we have a church out there. Sin and I went out to the Azores a number of times. And so that's a different time zone than Portugal. So you have the Azores, and then Portugal is UK time. It's Greenwich Mean Time. And then the next country over, Spain, is a different time zone. And so Spain, France, and Italy are a different time zone than Portugal or from the Azores. But what you're looking at there is 14 time zones out of 24. It is huge. When I was in seminary in Kansas City, NTS, my main professor during that time, was a retired missionary from Africa. And he always talked about the diverse culture of Africa. And I don't doubt that African culture is very diverse. But when you're talking 14 time zones and that large of an area, the culture is very diverse. And we had opportunity to work with many of those cultures. And we praise God for the opportunity that he gave us. And actually, as regional coordinators, the next slide, we were sent to work with the Jesus film. Now, we don't show the film in Europe. It would not be any more effective than it is here in the United States. We were in Kansas recently, and on a more intimate setting, on a weeknight, I was sharing, and the pastor spoke up at that point and said, "In our community, we passed out 6,000 copies of the Jesus film and got zero response." It would be the same way in Europe. But we show the film in these five countries and have a tremendous response. Now, these countries are not known as Christian nations. Like much of Europe, at one time, they were known as Christian nations. But now they've rejected Christianity. They're almost anti-Christian. I don't know if anybody can relate. We work with these five countries. In the large yellow country is Pakistan, and I've never been to Pakistan. The church would not allow me to go to Pakistan for security purposes, but I have been a number of times. Senna has been with me on occasion to these other countries, and the large gray country is India. A few months back, it was reported that India surpassed China as the most populous country in the world, and you know, it's not like they surpassed China by one or two. I was in Kansas, and this was probably 3 months ago, two or three months ago, and someone who accompanied us to several of our services, they heard me share that, so they did some research, and they said at that time, just even a few months ago, that India had 2.5 million people more than China already, and it's continuing to grow. So India is immense. We have 18 districts of the Church of Nazarene. Most of those are regular districts, which means the general superintendent attends their district assemblies every other year. Because with 18 districts, the general superintendent, if you're not familiar, we have 6 general superintendents in the Church of Nazarene, and a general superintendent will be assigned to Eurasia, for example, for a two-year period, and then there's a rotation that takes place. And so the general superintendent would come every other year to one of those districts in India. So he'd come to 9 of them, and then the next year, he'd go the other 9. Well, the year that the general superintendent did not attend any of those 9 that he did not attend, the field strategy coordinator for India, who is Indian, would invite me to come and accompany him to those district assemblies, and I would have the opportunity to meet with the Jesus Film teams at that time, plus other visits that I would make to India and so on. The small yellow country up above is Nepal, and I've been, you know, that's where the Himalayas are. Sen and I have been there several times. And the country over to the side, across from Pakistan, is Bangladesh. And down below, the island is Sri Lanka. And we would show the film in whatever their heart language is in an area. Now, in Pakistan, it would typically be in Urdu. If it's in Nepal, it would be Nepalese. If it's in Bangladesh, it's Bengla. If it's in Sri Lanka, it's Sinhala. And in India, typically it's in Hindi, although there are many other Indian languages. I happen to have an opportunity to go to a laboratory, a technical laboratory, where there was a man sitting and watching, like microfish. It probably wasn't microfish, it's probably actually the video, but he was sitting in front of a machine, and he would look at a segment of the Jesus film, and then he would translate into one of the Indian languages, and then he would do another session. He would translate into the Indian language, and I watched him because he could speed up or slow down the film to where it looked like Jesus was actually speaking that language. Now, the first couple hundred times I saw the Jesus film, Jesus spoke Spanish because it was in Ecuador. But it would do us no good to show the film in India in Spanish, or in Chinese, or in Portuguese, or German. But we always show the film in the language that it's their heart language, because Jesus speaks to people's hearts. Now let me read a scripture for you that Paul wrote. I never had the opportunity to meet Paul personally, even in all my travels. I have been to the church in India that Thomas founded. Remember Doubting Thomas? We talk about Paul being a missionary. I mean, I can only imagine. I've been to India in modern India. I can only imagine what India would have been like in Thomas's day. And he founded
the Christian faith in India.
But Paul wrote many, many letters that we have recorded. The one I want to share today is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. And he's talking about Jesus in the preceding verses, but in verse 15, he uses the pronoun he because he's been talking about Jesus. So let me put Jesus, okay? Just let me say Jesus for all of our benefits. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Well, Cinda's role with the Jesus film, I would travel and meet with the Jesus film teams, and she did on occasion, but more frequently, every month, each of the Jesus film teams that we had to write a five-element report. And she would receive those reports and compile them into a spreadsheet and send them on to Jesus Film Harvest Partners headquarters in Kansas. And each report had to consist of five elements. How many times had they shown the film? How many people came to see the film? How many people accepted Christ at the conclusion of the film? And how many of those people were in discipleship? We kept records of those. Because Jesus didn't say, go make converts. Jesus said, make go disciples. And so discipleship is our ultimate goal. Well, our ultimate goal is to plant churches, but you can't plant churches if people haven't been discipled. And so we wanted to disciple people so they would have an understanding of what Christianity is. In a country like India, where the British were in control for a couple hundred years, many people think that Christianity is a religion for the British, or it's a religion for the white people, or for the Western people. I want to tell you, and you're probably have the same misunderstanding that many people around the world do, that Christianity is a religion. But I'm here to declare to you today, Christianity is not a religion like Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus.
We want them to understand who Jesus is in relation to them. And when they see the Jesus film, now I recognize that people are seeing an image on a screen, but he's speaking to them in their language, and he touches their heart. When Paul wrote this, now like I said, I never met him, but I need to help you understand what Paul is saying here, because I know Paul's heart. When he says he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, what he's saying is Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. People see the visible image of the invisible God on the screen, and he speaks to them. In fact, the fifth element of the report that Cinda receives is a testimony. And we would receive testimonies of miracles, of healings, just as if Jesus were still alive today. We would receive testimonies of people being healed of leprosy, people being healed of cancer, people who were freed of demon possession or alcoholism or drug abuse, people who had a relationship with Jesus now, and he set them free. And that's what Jesus wants to do. Now, people can't have a relationship if they don't know who he is. Many of the people that we dealt with, especially in India, were Hindu. Now you have to understand, Hindus have 30,000 gods. And we don't want them to think that Jesus is 30,001. And so we disciple them. And one woman wrote her testimony that she now recognized that Jesus was the one true God. She shared how all her life she had grown up Hindu. Her whole family, as far back as she could remember, they'd been Hindu, and they worshipped idols. And we have seen the Hindu temples, and the Hindu temples have grotesque figures of faces and almost
demon-like and dragon-like, and yet people worship that as their god, gods. And this woman wrote that now she knew that Jesus was the one true God. That's our goal, that people would understand Jesus is the one true God. In fact, Paul, when he wrote, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That was what Paul wanted people to understand, that he was the one true God. Now, Paul is also sharing his testimony here when he says Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, because when his name was Saul, he was persecuting the church, those who claimed they had seen the visible image of the invisible God. But on the road to Damascus, Saul had an experience where he saw the visible image of the invisible God, and it changed his life. It changed his outlook. It changed his worldview. It even changed his name to Paul. And we know him as Paul. But he wanted others to understand that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And we have many miracle stories about the way Jesus today is working in people's hearts and lives. In fact, when he wrote this, he talked about the creation as in the past. All things were created by him. That's in the past tense. We know as human beings, we wouldn't be here if the creation hadn't taken place. So we recognize that the creation was in the past. As Paul said, all things were created by him. But when he talks about Jesus, it's always is. Jesus is. It doesn't say that he was in the beginning. He is. He is. And he is today. He is, for people who see the Jesus film, he is current in their heart and in their lives. And he transforms their lives and their worldview and their outlook, just like Jesus did for Paul. And we want people to understand that. But we don't always have the opportunity to share in depth as missionaries. Sin and I had gone to Sri Lanka, one of our first trips to Sri Lanka, and I wanted to encourage them. I didn't stand up and talk to them. I sat in a circle with them. I wanted them to understand that I was one of them. We all wanted to minister in some way to reach people. And we were encouraging them to give us good stories, good testimonies. And they admitted that they didn't always have good stories. You know, they didn't always have a miracle story. They didn't always have a healing. And we said, that's okay. We want you to share challenges even. And they began to share with us some of their challenges. Like during the monsoon season, they had difficulty because of muddy roads. They couldn't go out and share the Jesus film like they would have liked to. And so we appreciated that truthfulness and so on. And they said, and recently we thought we were going to have a really great story of a healing, of a miracle. We went to show the film in a village. And in this village, as they passed out invitations and people began to come, they were told that there's a really bad, evil man in the community, and he came to the Jesus film showing. He was a loan shark, and he would loan people money at a high interest rate, and if they couldn't pay him back, he would collect in a different way. And he was known in the community. And he came to see the Jesus film, and so they were watching him, just sure that Jesus was going to perform a miracle that night. And everything, he was really being attentive, everything was going well. And then the scene in the Jesus film where Jesus is eating with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus stands up and he says, if I've robbed anybody of anything, I will pay them back four times. And the loan shark got up and left. And they said, our miracle story just walked out the door. So we couldn't give you that story. I said, no, you should have written that story for us so we could pray for him. Now they didn't know who Paul Harvey was. But if we had opportunity to pray for him a few months later, maybe a couple years later, they could have written the rest of the story. Because I believe that Jesus is planting seeds in his heart. The Holy Spirit was at work, and he'll continue to work. I said to them, you don't save people. The missionary doesn't save people. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus that saves people. That's why we show the Jesus film. It's a ministry.
Well, I'm going to get into the second hour soon. So in the next slide, not only was I involved with Jesus Film, I was also sent to oversee the work of Work and Witness across the region. Now, you know, the 14 time zones. When we were in Ecuador, I would go out with work teams. Every team that came, I would go out with them. I can't do that on the Eurasia region. So I was the webmaster for the Eurasia region. And a team would, a church would make a request. They would want a team. And I would put it on the website. And so if you go to the Work and Witness website, some of those projects I put on there. There was one project that I inherited. And it was called Mary's Project. I didn't know who Mary was. I didn't know what Mary's project was. I did some inquiries, and I was told that Mary was a woman, and we had an opportunity in Florida at the beginning of the year. Sin and I met Mary, and I'm going to tell you about Mary's project. Mary had a ministry. She had a call upon her heart to go to the Ukraine to orphanages and hold babies. It's not always about building buildings. It's about relationships. Jesus wants us to have relationships. And Mary would go and hold babies. She would take other people with her, and they would hold babies. Do you know how crucial human contact is for our development? Mary understood that. And she wanted to have a relationship with babies. Now, she can't go currently because of the conflict, but someday, we hope that Mary will be able to continue. We want people to have a relationship with Jesus. And so it's a matter of planting seeds. Now, if you've ever been involved in Work of Witness, you probably built a building. Although Work of Witness isn't about building buildings. I mean, that does happen. But it's really about building relationships. If you've ever gone on a Work Witness trip, and you probably took pictures of the building you built, but you also took pictures of people that you worked with. And when you got back home, those images of those fellow believers, those people you had contact with, now you now have a relationship with, they come to your mind. And so we praise God for the relationships that we build around the world across the church. May his name be praised. Another responsibility that was given me, all of these at the same time, with the next slide, you'll see it was alabaster. All around the world in the Church of Nazarene, we take an alabaster offering, usually twice a year. When I was a district superintendent of Spain, usually in the church, we take an offering in September and February. But in Spain, they would take the offering in December and February. And I said to them, those are two offerings pretty close together. And they said, well, we want to do it in December because that's when people get a double salary. Oh, okay, then let's take the offering in December. It works. So we would take offering twice a year all across the church, and they go, I didn't get a salary from it. It goes exclusively to buy buildings, to buy property. In fact, Cindy and I, one of our trips to Nepal, we were greeted in this village. And we sat around and chatted for a while because it's all about relationships. And then they very proudly led us outside the village and they showed us a property that I had approved for them to buy with alabaster funds. And so they took pictures of us. We were out standing in our field that day. And they were very, very proud to show us this property that I had helped them purchase and that you helped them purchase. We depend upon your help in that. And so let me share with you a couple examples. Just about the time COVID started, I got a call from the missionary in France, and he said, we have an opportunity to buy a building, and it's really a miracle because, as I said, in Europe, their society has really become anti-Christian. And if we were to buy a storefront or something of that nature and try to convert the zoning to a church, it would take months, maybe years. And so the opportunity that we had, another denomination had gone through all the red tape to build a larger facility, and they wanted to sell their
previous building to us as the Church of Nazarene. They during all the construction time, they had leased out part of the offices, like Sunday school rooms as offices, and so there were leases on part of the building, but they wanted to sell the building to us, and so the question came: do we have alabaster funds? I was able to give them alabaster funds, which you had provided as a down payment, and then through the district and the local church working through the bank, they acquired a mortgage, and that church is now making mortgage payments, whereas before they were paying rent. And as those leases expired, during the time when those leases were in effect, the rent that was coming off of those, it could legally only be used to pay down their mortgage. It was a real shame that we had that income to pay down the mortgage. Now, we didn't pay it off, but it was a real boost to them during that time. And then as the mortgages expired, they were able to use those Sunday school space and so on. And we had a great relationship with that church. In fact, that's where we've held the district assembly the last few years. And so you had a role in helping us to do that. Right toward the end of COVID, I was having lunch in Paris with the district superintendent, Joseph, and with the missionary, and Joseph received a phone call. He went out to the sidewalk to talk, and he came back in grinning from ear to ear. Now, when Joseph grins from ear to ear, you know that it's really something happening, and he shared that another denomination, and I don't know who it was, but because of the anti-Christian society and the blow that they took from COVID, they just wanted to give up and throw in the towel, and they wanted to sell their building, the Church Nazarene. And so the question was, do we have alabaster funds? And because you had been faithful in giving, we did have alabaster funds, and we were able to go through the same process, and so now we have two churches in the Paris area that we didn't have before because you had been faithful in giving alabaster. I didn't have time to come back to the United States and say, oh, church, we have this great opportunity. We need money. You had been giving faithfully, so thank you. You had a part in that. We couldn't have done it without you. Continue to give faithfully. We thank you for your role in allowing us to serve in our mission career, but you're impacting the world. You're making a difference all over the world, and so we thank you for that. Now, we have a display table. Some of you maybe saw it on the way in. And we ask that you maybe, if interested, we have a prayer card for $19.95. You can, no, just kidding. It's free. You can take one of these and put it in your Bible or put it on your mirror or in your refrigerator and pray for us. I believe that God, if you pray, God bless all the missionaries. I think he hears your prayer. But now, if you would pray specifically for us by name, we would appreciate that. But not only for us, but for the people who have taken our place in these ministries, because we're not going back. We came to the United States in December of last year, and my last paycheck, they tell me, will be January 8th of 2024. So we're winding out our year, but take one of these and pray for us, but also for the people who have taken our place in all these ministries that I've shared. And as a special bonus, in addition to the $19.95, today only, in the next half hour, if any of you like to cook or bake, is it bake? Well, whatever. If you like to eat, I have a recipe for tiramisu. It's straight from Italy. Vanya is the district superintendent's wife. She's also the missionary president for the district. Vanya Fink has given to you, free of charge, her recipe for tiramisu, and that's a picture of tiramisu that she made. So if you want to prepare for lunch, you can take one of those and you'll have your mouth watering. Thank you. Lord bless you. May you receive a blessing today because of your faithfulness in supporting missions around the world. God bless you.